You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid with us here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Here's the latest on the Browns quarterback situation. Mike Pettine won't name a starter to maintain, quote, a competitive advantage. He knows who will start on Sunday. He will not, however, let the world know who is going to start on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. Another update: Tashawn Gibson is now listed as questionable on the injury report with an illness. And Mike Pettine said he hopes it is not significant. And not significant enough to keep him from playing on Sunday. By the way, not only is Mike Pettine not telling the world who's starting at quarterback, he hasn't even told the quarterback who is starting on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. He has not told Josh or Johnny. By the way, Mike Tomlin doing the same thing, not naming his starter. Ben Roethlisberger officially listed as questionable for the Steelers. All right, gentlemen, so let me pose it to you two ways. Number one, Mike Pettine said if Josh McCown's able to play, he's his starter, so he's the starter. Like, that's not even a question. So is the fact that he's not saying, does that mean to you that it's going to be Johnny on Sunday? And who would you be starting?
Well, I think we all would be starting Johnny at this point.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No.
Even though you don't want to see what you – or you're just convinced that he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's
you're
fair.
Convinced you're done.
All right, well, if that's your assessment, then I have no problem with if that's their behind the scenes assessment, then go ahead and start Josh McCown. But if there's any glimmer of doubt, they got to see what they got.
Right, and here I'll give you mine. Go ahead.
So real quick, kid, we've got some requests on Twitter for you to say Kawhi Leonard's name at the end of every point that you make.
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, boo.
I got it back.
He got it. He dialed it in.
I don't know why. I've said it wrong.
Is that a Hawaiian island?
Yeah, Kiwa. He's going to Kiwa Island for the Ryder Cup. All right, so look, this is interesting. So Matt Wilhelm, right now, on record, in your opinion, Johnny Manziel, the experiment, you've seen enough. The experiment is over.
Thus far, and again, I'm not, and I can, if I, and I'm making this assessment if I were Mike Pettine, and Mike Pettine at 2-7 right now, I think Mike Pettine wants to go out and accumulate as many victories as possible. If I'm the head coach of this football team, I'm not worried about if this guy can play next year because I don't know that I'm going to be here.
But if you're the hierarchy of the organ, you know, because not every decision.
But they don't make the decision. Mike Pettine makes the decision who plays and who doesn't. So it does not matter.
See, but in certain, I agree that's the way it is. But don't you?
Oh,
think
it is.
In general, though, like in a business decision, you can't make decisions like that in a vacuum because now maybe that he could say to them, look, I'll play him if you tell me that I'm gonna be here next year, then that's a different story.
But I don't think that decision's being had. Or I'm sorry, that conversation's being had. And to go on and answer your question, Nathan, here's what I think's gonna happen. I think Josh McCown, as I always talk percentages, is going to be close enough by Sunday to start for this football team. And I believe that the whole Big Ben talk and practice and all that whatever is a smokescreen for him getting a week of rest. I'm going to go Landry Jones, Josh McCown starting this football game.
I agree. I'm in total agreement.
If Josh McCown is able to get on the field, he's starting. So
yes.
Which I believe it sounds like that is the case. So I think that he will be starting at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. I think Ben might play.
No.
I really do. I agree with you on some level to smokescreen, but when you look at their schedule, and he's got the bye next week, if he's told that, look, you can't go out there and aggravate it, you can't make it worse without basically the same thing that would happen if you were perfectly healthy making it worse, why wouldn't he play?
But
they need to win this game.
But to that same point, the reason why Josh McCown is in question, and I was talking to Kevin Griffin in his office prior to the show, is our coaches and training staff have probably three boxes that Josh McCown needs to be able to check off for him to be able to play on Sunday. And the fourth box, which is a very big box, especially when you're struggling with a rib injury, is your ability to take a significant hit or contact, which can only be tested in the actual football game. So I think Josh McCown is going to get those three check marks, start on Sunday. That being said, I don't believe that he may not finish the football game because of that rib injury. But Ben Roethlisberger's not gripping and ripping that football, throwing it down the field the way he does in a football game, and planting on that foot. So he's not pushing it to the limit that he would in a football game. So if he has a setback, when we thought this was a week to 10-day injury, say it becomes a week to 10-day injury against the Cleveland Browns, he's then questionable going into those pinnacle football games that we know are on their schedule ahead of them.
Well, I think it also will tell you a lot. If he was at the point where he thought he could go and they rest him, it tells you what they think right now of the football team that the Browns are bringing to town on Sunday. I want to go back to your discussion of Johnny Manziel because I find it to be an interesting one. See, when I watch that game and when I watch that tape, and I saw the errors that were made in terms of reads, et cetera, from the pocket from Johnny Manziel. I think it's more important to play him now than ever because I think now you actually have an opportunity over a period of time to evaluate whether or not there you've got like a baseline now for him. Because I'm not going to count any game that he played in last year. And I'm not going to count that Tennessee game where he threw it 15 times and we kind of came out and he hit the home run. I thought that was a game where you had some good in the first half, you had some bad in the second half. But I'm going to count that as a baseline game for him. And I think now you have an opportunity to really assess over the next few games whether or not he improves off of that baseline, whether or not he can make those decisions from the pocket or he can't.
Sure.
So that you can answer that question by the end of the year. Can he play next year or can he not play
right.
next year?
But the... On the other side of the coin, it's, and I understand, it's a conversation, A, because it's Johnny Manziel. It's a question, B, because he was drafted in the first round. It's a question, C, because it's the quarterback position. But look at this, look at the Cleveland Browns roster. How many other young players that are inching their way closer to being playmakers or potential starters in this league that if this season, as we, you know, wash our hands of 2-7 and we're not going to the playoffs and we're in that developmental mindset, how many other veterans should be sat in place of young players to develop just like Johnny Manziel at quarterback?
Who's on that list?
I think there's
is that what you're asking?
I'm not necessarily
because I would be in favor of playing them all.
I would be too.
That's my point. But I think it's a perceived give up.
This is the difference. I think with the quarterback, given that where this franchise has been since they've come back, the number one thing that this franchise must do is find its franchise quarterback. And so to me, everything at the end of this season is about knowing whether or not Johnny can be that guy for you.
Nothing that I've seen from Johnny Manziel, not the Tennessee touchdowns, not the first half against the Cincinnati Bengals, have proved to me yet that he's a franchise quarterback.
Okay, so in your world, yes, he's going to start. Right, and he's going to bomb out.
Right,
and there's a chance we go 2-14.
Correct.
That's not a bad scenario.
Okay,
because then two questions aren't answered.
I understand your point.
Then you know he's not the guy, you're going to get your pick.
I know
of the guy,
but again,
which is better to there me than
are
going,
there are ramifications well beyond figuring out Johnny Manziel to the other 52 members of this football team and a coaching staff and a management staff as well. Okay, so we figured out one thing, but we've got a dozen other bombs going off around us. We know Johnny's not the guy, but is Ibrahim Campbell the next strong safety of this football team? Is Justin Gilbert the cornerback, you know, of our future?
He'd be playing
is Danny Shelton the 12th overall pick? Does he deserve to play more than 25 snaps? There's so many other things that we need to figure out well beyond just having the quarterback. But I know the quarterback conversation because if you have the guy or you don't have the guy, your job this offseason is defined.
Right.
Go find that guy because, as we know, studying the NFL, having that guy produces victories, which stabilizes your organization.
Yeah, I would say I hear what you're saying about the other positions, but just what you just said there, the quarterback is the most important position, so that's obviously the most important question. I do hear what you're saying also about, you know, winning games and the other guys in the locker room, and it is a balance, but I would just say that organizationally, if I own the organization, to me, the most important thing right now is, okay, let's get off this treadmill. How do we, you know, we have to reboot and figure out how to become successful. And
right.
The first thing we got to do is figure out what we have here.
Yes, I think that's true. And by the way, in your scenario to me, if let's say it's four games, the next four games, and Johnny's god awful and it's clear he's not I'm playing Austin Davis the
sure.
last three games, and I'm finding out what is Austin Davis has. And let me just say, let's not forget the oneest part of this when you're worried about the record. Let's not forget, right now, Johnny started two games. And he's 1-1. Josh McCown has started 7 games, and he's 1-6.
Johnny Manziel lost the New York Jets game.
Fine. I don't know that either one of them was beating the Jets that day in New York.
Fine.
But fine. So throw that out there. 1-5 and 1-1.
Yeah, but
so it's not a total give up.
But one thing is, though, that you can't always – but you do need a quarterback to win in this league. But Josh McCown has played a lot
this
better football than 1-6.
This is not Josh McCown.
And what I think it's
– not Josh
when,
McCown.
When we talk about fundamentals and philosophy and identity, and I think what this past week with Johnny Manziel starting against the Bengals shined a light on, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, is John DeFilippo as a play caller, no matter the quarterback, is a good, young, budding offensive coordinator in this league, giving his quarterbacks an opportunity to thrive, whether it be Josh McCown or setting up Johnny Manziel to get off to a good start. It's the player executing that offense. And like I said yesterday, to have a quarterback in line with that philosophy to go out and execute that plan. And if I were John DeFilippo, and it's tough, it's got to be tough for him every Thursday to go to the podium and put everything on himself and place no blame on his players when you can go out and be in a middle-of-the-road football knowledge person and understand that Johnny Manziel missed throws because he tried to make a play down the field or with his legs. And that on a play-in, game-out game, or didn't see it himself because he's not tall enough or didn't have the right throwing lane, that you need the perfect scenario and it's and for Johnny Manziel to succeed. And as John DeFilippo, when does it get frustrating for John DeFilippo that I can't draw it up any more clearer. My guys can't get any more open.
That's why I want to understand. To me, it is a bigger disservice to this organization to go 5-11 with Josh McCown the rest of the way, and you go 3-4 or even 6-10 and go 4-3 in your last seven games, and you're nowhere closer to solving the problems of this organization next year.
The only thing is, though, if you do that, then maybe Mike Pettin establishes himself as his team's not giving up, and they're figuring out ways to win games. And then one other thing that's important in the NFL is continuity. So if that saves his job,
the right continuity is important.
Right, the right continuity. So if that is if he proves himself, then they can have continuity. Now my argument would be if I was Mike Pettin, I would have that conversation, and I would walk into my boss's office and say, let's talk about our plan moving forward over the next, you know, let's put the cards on the table. I like to know where I stand. Am I coaching for my job? If I'm not coaching for my job and we're talking about a two-year development plan, if what you said in the preseason is no matter what, if we take a step back, I'm sticking with this. If that's true, then okay, then let's see. Maybe they have a decision behind closed doors. It's not Johnny and they don't need to start him, but then maybe it is Ibrahim Campbell. Maybe it is some of these other young guys that they give a shot to. But I think that conversation needs to be had, and if the answer is, you know what, you are coaching for your job, at least he knows where he stands.
Right.
And
one
you could win your keep that job coaching the young guys and showing progress and development with them.
The only way, and I'll draw my line in the sand, the only way I ever give Johnny Manziel the opportunity to start is if he can start four consecutive games in a row for me. Because that's a quarter of the season, and that's the best way for me to see what he does in a chunk of time, how he prepares, how professional he can be, and like you said, you evaluate the mistakes that he made in one game, and you don't want to see those mistakes. So by that fourth game, regardless of what we're playing for, Johnny Manziel should continue to be a much more polished product, or it is by far and away clear that he does not deserve or have the opportunity to at all play in the next.
Right.
But it's like, if it's a game here and a game
a
game here.
That's why I say seven. I do it the last seven. You got seven right here.
I think if we
lose, that's why I said four.
If we lose
bad,
the next two,
then Austin Davis
if we
can
lose
do
the next
three.
Two or two or three, and if we get to 2-10 and we have the last four, regardless, we could play old lady to the poor. You throw Johnny out there to see what he can do.
I don't know why you wait that long, but I'm not. That's not my. Those are not my decisions.
People are fighting for their jobs, man.
I get that, but I think that there is. I think that that there isn't just one path to that job. I think showing that you can be competitive with these young guys and that you show progress in the overall development of your roster could be just as powerful.
How about competitive period?
But we right or be competitive with that younger roster. I think because right now. The only game Johnny started was Cincinnati, and it was 17-10 at the end of the third quarter. The other games were St. Louis and Arizona. You were in them for a period of time, same as you were with Johnny, and you lost by more than 14 in all three of those games.
Right.
So I don't think it's a quarterback-dependent issue that's going on with this team. That was my point. I think Mike Pettin, you know, in terms of what would help him is shoring up this defense, getting the run defense going, playing competitive football, and showing some development on the roster. Because let's be honest, if you want to look at it, take Josh McCown out of it, but in the next year or 2 years, you're losing off of your defense. Dez Bryant, Randy Starks, Carlos Dansby, Tremont Williams, Dante Whitner, Paul Kruger.
Barkevious Mingo.
Maybe. You have the opportunity, if you want to keep him, right. You have the opportunity to. But those are six guys that are – that's just it at this point, right? And that's six of your probably top 12 guys on defense.
Yep.
Gone. Offensively, you know, hopefully you bring back Gary Barnage. But in terms of the most of the guys, the veterans, they're not – Hartline's going to be gone.
Hawkins.
Bo's going to be gone. Hawkins is going to be gone. Well, you never know. If Gabriel develops, we have an opportunity. Okay. It's at your discretion.
Sure.
But my point is – You need to get some type of his bet, and maybe I'm way off base, but I think his best bet would be to have the young nucleus of this team take steps forward over the final seven games and build some momentum with people that are actually going to be here when the Browns have an opportunity to get where they truly want to be.
And I guess the mentality that I consistently take is if you're Coach Pettine, am I building momentum for the next guy? Because all I can control is right now.
Right, but if you go down on the ship of playing all the old guys who, in a best-case scenario, are going to go 8-8 for you, and you have more talented people that you're not playing because you don't trust them, that's sealing your fate at the same time,
too. I agree.
All right, when we come back, we'll take some phone calls, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.